that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score.
Don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap.
Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And that old wheel has rolled around again. And good morning, everybody. You're listening to Coffee with the Wranglers. And we'll go to the phone lines. Jason, are you there?
I am here.
Well, good morning to you. How are you doing this morning?
I'm doing well, thanks.
And I tried to call Tim from Nebraska a couple times, but it sounded like one time we just got disconnected and one time didn't answer. So hopefully if he's listening out there, he'll just give me a call. And Richard called in from out of town. Are you there, Richard?
Hey, good morning.
Well, good morning. I'll turn you down a little bit.
Sorry about that. I've got a good cup of coffee with me this morning in a hotel in Texas.
Well, that sounds good. Richard texted me saying, don't dial with the phone lines unmuted. But they were muted. That's the problem. 7 and 8 were muted, and so I don't know why that was going out. But anyway, good morning, everybody, and I hope you're having a blessed morning as the sun comes up here in southern Wyoming, right by the Colorado border. Well, Jason, why don't you open us up with prayer this morning?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this opportunity to go out on the radio waves to this morning. And we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this program. We pray that you guide us and direct us in all that's said here today. And, Father, we want this program to be edifying. And to you, we want it to be a blessing to the saints. We want it to be a blow to the snakes. And we pray, Father, that you just continue to guide us and direct us in all that we do. And pour you down your blessings upon us, Father. Raise the remnant up higher and higher as our enemies are brought down lower and lower. Continue to help the remnants to draw closer to you, Father, in this year 2014 that we're calendar year that we're in, Father. We just pray, Father, for that blessing to be down upon your people. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. Well, Richard, being you're the furthest away, why don't you start off?
Well, again, just a good morning to everybody. And the Ramrod and I, and got a chance to come down here. Got a member of the family of Christ, who's getting his family a little bit bigger today. His son is marrying a young Christian lady, and so we're down just trying to rejoice with him and enjoying some good fellowship and with other members of the body of Christ. And so just one of those quick road trips. We made a little bit of time, and it's a little better atmosphere than the last trip to Texas we had to take. But, yeah, so far things are going very well. Had the rehearsal dinner last night, and everybody laughed and fellowshipped, and I think we were fellowshipping up till about 12:30 this morning. And but that's how it is when the remnant gets together. And so just enjoying some great cool weather here in Texas. They're saying even unseasonably cool. And but just enjoying it. And again, what a blessing to be able to for this Christian family to be growing, to be marrying off a son, but to be this patriarch here is gaining another daughter, and the family's all happy and excited about that. And so it's good. It's a good time. It's a time of blessings. It's a time of happiness, and we're just pleased and blessed to be able to be part of that.
Amen. And we've all met the new addition to the to their family. And
yeah, you heard her.
We did hear her sing in Branson last year, and we got to talk to her, and she didn't run away from the crowd, so that was good. And we all enjoyed her and liked her, and then they got to come out to the church last year for baptism, and that was awesome too. So
yeah,
but anyway, that's good. Glad you guys made it safely, and I'm glad you're having good fellowship. And let's go to the phone lines and see. And by the way, the telephone number is 307-745-5913. Let's see who we got here.
Kyle, why don't you turn your volume up just a little bit?
My volume? Oh, you got it.
Yep.
Is that better?
That's better.
Good. Caller, who we got here?
This is Tim.
Well, hi, Tim.
Hi, good morning.
So we got Tim from Nebraska. So now we're covering more of the country. Now we got Wyoming, Colorado, Texas, and Nebraska on the line. So how is it in Nebraska this morning?
Well, the sun's out and the wind's not blowing, and so far it's a beautiful day.
Well, that's great.
Glad to be here.
Yeah, you're ahead of us. Our sun's peeking out. Ain't quite over the horizon yet, but we can definitely see it coming. But we got your wind. We not only do we have the Wyoming wind this morning, we got an addition to that, because when I was coming through town, there was trash can, there was all kinds of stuff blowing around, because usually at 6 a.m. in the morning, it hasn't really picked up yet, but boy,
right,
it sure has this morning. And it was even, me and Jason was talking about it yesterday, it was even down in La Porte yesterday, man, that wind was blowing around. There was all kinds of stuff flying around at Jason's home. So, well, what's going on in the news? Anybody got? I haven't watched the news for a few days. Is there anything out there that we need to discuss?
Well,
go ahead.
Go ahead.
We were talking about the Wyoming thing last night. Wyoming's borders have, they're trying to shrink them or remap them a little bit over there at Riverton, Wyoming. And there seems to be a little bit of a inability there of them to keep their thieving hands off other people's work. So the EPA went in and just decided they should give a million plus acres to the Indian reservation. That was one of the things. So I guess that falls into the category of steal, lie, and destroy.
Yeah, absolutely. I was looking at there was another news story that just came out on that yesterday, and they're saying that they're just completely ignoring anything that that the state of the Wyoming has to say at this point.
Wow. That's pretty wild. Where exactly is Riverton located at? You kind of, anybody kind of know?
It'd be north, well, north of here. I don't know if it'd actually be considered central or if it'd still be considered eastern. But it's up in the state a little bit.
Yeah. Well, that's kind of where I thought it was, too, but I wasn't, you know, I hadn't looked at the map just exactly, so.
I don't know, and you look at it, I'm wondering, too, if they're just not using that as a testing ground to see how people react to it.
Oh, I think that's a really good, yeah, sure.
I mean, so. A little town up in the middle of Wyoming that, you know, not a lot. It's actually directly west of Casper, probably about, 60, 100 miles.
So not a high population
right up there by Lander,
area, so to speak,
and
either.
Straight
right?
North of Rollins. So it's almost right in the middle of the state.
Well, let's see who else we got on the line here. Maybe. Caller, you're on the air.
Morning.
Is this?
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, we got major feedback, but hey, just see if we can get what your comments are out. So. Too many phone lines. Well, caller hang up. So, but yeah, we got we got three phone lines already. So when we get that fourth, a lot of times we'll get a lot of feedback. I tried to use line six, must not be working right now, because that's who I tried to call one of you guys on, but it was down. So, but anyway, maybe you can call back or somebody else could call. It's 503. Well, no, it ain't. It's 307-745-5913. Almost gave out my mobile number, which I guess wouldn't have been that bad of a thing. So, but yeah, you know, Indian reservations. You know, they're kind of a country in themselves, aren't they? In a lot of states, I know they were in Oregon. I mean, basically, you know, you had to cross a few to get to certain places, and it was like they kind of had their own rules, their own laws, and everything going on just had to do with them. All the police officers were Indians. All the, you know, of course, all the people that lived there were Indians, and you didn't really. You know, it wasn't a place to pull over and spend the night in the car.
No.
You know, not that they were these big, bad, muscly Indians you would maybe see in an old movie. Most of them were big old fat slobs that, you know, had a fifth of something in their hand all the time. But you just didn't, you know, there was the Deschutes River in Oregon was a good fly fishing river. And part of that went through what they call the Warm Springs Indian Reservation, and like I said, you didn't want to camp out next to the road in the Indian Reservation, or you know, you might be woken up at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning with a bunch of drunken Indians, basically doing whatever they want because their buddy was the local sheriff or police officer, and you know they could basically get away with just about anything. Is that the way it is in most states?
Yeah, I think that's pretty apt. We've had this similar circumstances here. We've got some around here, and there's been issues too. So, and they definitely do have their own authority, as long as the Fed pays the payments. Why they operate kind of autonomously up to a point. I know there's a big casino on the one up here, so.
Yeah, they seem to all, you know, a lot of them have those casinos, you know, bringing in all kinds.
Well, the interesting thing about this whole situation is what they're trying to do is if they do this and go ahead and do turn it over, which that's what the ruling says that they're going to do, and they just haven't done it yet, the state of Wyoming's trying to fight it. And actually, the governor is, from what it appears, is doing a pretty good job at putting up a pretty good fight. and he's trying to fight it because they want to take everybody that has property in that area and not compensate them for it, not buy it from them, just turn it over to the Indian reservation and say, here, it's yours.
Just out and out steal. Yep.
And it's out and out theft. Yeah, exactly. It's stealing. It's taking, you know, a lot of these are family farms and, you know, houses and a lot of, there is a lot of elderly people in that area. And they want to take the houses, the land, everything, all the businesses in that whole area, everything, and just say, here you go, and turn it over to them. And, you know, they don't have a problem with that. And, you know, you talk about what a thief does. You know, a thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Well, there he's, you know, they're stealing and they're destroying a whole, you know, basically a whole town that has been, you know, it's been generations that have been building that town up. That's a big ranching community, farming community, and you know that's what's really wrong with the whole deal. You know, and you look at it, and I mean the governor says, if you go to the governor of Wyoming's website, he says, you know, we can prove that everything that they're saying is false. They have bad information. And, you know, their research was done flawlessly. Well, who is the EPA working for? The EPA is nothing but a, you know, an Obama federal organization. You know?
They're getting their back scratched, so they want to scratch Obama's back. I mean, it's just a exactly. game to them, you know.
Yeah. Well, and I know there's been some big issues with the EPA out there in Oregon up to the point that I think we've posted some articles on that here and there. There was one sheriff out there in Oregon that the EPA was basically trying to isolate and shut down a town out there, and he pretty much run them out of town.
Huh.
So I don't remember any of the small details, but it's kind of interesting how, you know, how much are people just going to lay down, I guess, and let them roll over them. Sometimes, you know, we see these, like, I think like Jason said, they're test cases.
They are, but, and you said it a while ago, Tim, about them. Well, you said steal, lie, and destroy, but they steal and they kill and destroy.
Yeah.
And of course, lying is a big part of that, too, because that's, you know, that's part of how they get the stolen goods. And the country, you know, too many neighbors don't care when their neighbors get stole from, because they got to a point through a domino effect, I believe, that they don't say anything, you know. And it's at least somebody's vocaling that, you know, they got all their information wrong, and basically sounds like somebody's saying that they are stealing. But as a nation, this nation needs to stand up, because whether you like your neighbor or not, and if you allow them to steal your neighbor's property, your neighbor's goods, your neighbor's wife, your neighbor's kid, then you're next, because they don't stop. They can't stop. It's impossible for them to stop. That's what they do. And as a nation, we need to stand up and defend our neighbors' rights, because there are rights. It's the right to live peaceably among men and not harming anybody, not taking anything that doesn't belong to you, not going out and killing things just to kill things, not going out and doing the things that this people didn't used to do in this country, because they had character, you know, they had integrity. They were, you know, in general, decent people who cared for their neighbors, you know. What do they think of, you know, how do they think they used to form posses to go after a murderer or a horse thief? It's because people cared about what happened to their neighbors, you know. They weren't all the posses weren't bad, like you might see it in the Western, where they're going out to hang somebody who's not guilty. It wasn't like that. It was let's go get that guy. He stole from Joe's place. Or, you know, I mean, he's got Joe's cattle brand, you know, in his herd. Or whatever it happened to be. That's the way the country was built, and it's just a shame that it's got to the point it's gotten to where, you know, if you like you say, if you're in that crowd that steal, kill, and destroy, well, they get away with murder all the time.
They do. You know what? One thing that comes to mind, Kyle, is that at one point in time in this nation, the law of God was on the people's hearts, and they listened to it. You know, that's the second greatest commandment, to love your neighbor as yourself. You know, that isn't that sloppy agape that we get from the Judeo-Christian churches, that you just love, no matter what, no matter who. That's not what that means, but it describes just what you said, that we care about our neighbor, that we care about his children, his family, his goods. We want to see them protected and prosper as much as we do our own. And that we understand, and we did once in this nation, that the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and if we turn a blind eye when he's stealing, killing, and destroying our neighbor, he's coming to us next.
Yeah.
And we understood that once as a nation, that no, when that thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, you catch that thief, and you either make him repay, or you make him pay. One or the other.
Yeah, one or the other, yeah.
It was restitution or hanging, basically. Whether it was a horse thief or a murderer or a kidnapper. You know, down here in Texas, I had our brother down here talk about how the Mexicans are saying that, well, Texas is still ours, and we want it back. And, you know, from the looks of the demographics down here, they're doing a pretty good job of taking it back as far as invading in and seemingly being the predominant race down here. A lot of dark-skinned people down here. But our brother mentioned up and, you know, said they forget that, you know, Mexico was paid gold for the state of Texas and paid in full to the nation of Mexico. And then the other thing was that, you know, the Mexicans had tried for many years to settle in Texas, and they couldn't because of the Comanches. They couldn't stand the wrath of the Comanches. But when the white man came, when the Texicans came, and they started settling, well, the Comanches were after them as well, but they formed a little-known group called the Texas Rangers. And when they formed the Rangers took care of the Comanche problem. And if there was an Indian uprising, if there were a group of Indians that came in and killed a family or kidnapped a child or something like that, those Texas Rangers, and usually the neighbors, they would hunt down. If it took months, they would hunt down those kidnappers. They would hunt down those killers, and they would deal out retribution. And over a course of just a few years, that got rid of the Comanche problem. But what most people know about the Texas Rangers today is watching Chuck Norris on TV about the Texas Ranger or whatever it is. And many people don't know that I think it was that law of God that was on their heart. They loved their neighbor as themselves. They fought for what was right and what was proper. Now, is it that way today? I doubt it.
Yeah, because and
just as society has changed, you know, I'm sure those Rangers have as well.
And I'm sure they were teaching their young. I mean, because when I was growing up, and of course I'm sure a generation before me was even doing it even more, playing cowboys and Indians was a common thing when you're a little boy.
Right.
And by the way, you never wanted to be the Indian because you always got slaughtered. And you know, when Israel went into Canaan land, you know, the generations after generations were playing Israelites versus the Canaanites. Because that's just, you're just telling your young the history of your people and how you, and the history of where you live and I mean, that those things are common sense. And so then by the time they grow up and they become adults, they've got a little pride in their stuff and things that their forefathers that they conquered and fought for, and the tough times that they went through and all these things. I mean, the Israelites were commanded to tell the story of coming out of Egypt to generations after generations, and there was a point there where, you know, where they obviously stopped doing it. Now, when the divorce came and God cast them off, that had a lot to do with it. But the stories quit being told, you know. So and that's what sets up society for a changing when they change your history, because the young people don't even know they don't. Now you can't even you can't even say that an Indian was a savage. You can't even say that they did horrific things, you know. And the same with any other people, you know, because history, they've tried to change history to where, well, no, the white cowboy, they were the problem, you know. I mean, and it's just ridiculous. And it just goes back to what Tim was saying. They come to steal, kill, and destroy, and that's part of their game plan, is they take away the laws of God, the history of man and society. They take away all that stuff from our people. Let's go back to the phone lines. Caller, you're on the air.
This is Tim. I just got kicked off.
Oh, you got dropped? Well, we got another caller. Let's see who they are.
Yeah.
And that, I don't know if it's going to work, but caller, you're on the air. We just got too many phone lines, I think. So the red...
Well, Kyle,
what's that?
Well, Kyle, I'll tell you what. I'll make one more comment, and I'll drop off. Maybe that'll open up the phone line. I'm on my cell phone, and its battery is running down fast.
Okay.
No, I think along the same lines, you know, as our enemies have rewritten our history, have tried to anyway, they do the same things with many things. Gun control, for instance. You know, more guns always equals less crime. And I think that's a little mantra we should remember. And that's something that we can tell, you know, our friends and people if we get into a conversation about it. More guns equals less crime. Those statistics prove out. Now, that's just the opposite of what our enemies put out. Our enemies always put out that, oh, no, we have to do gun buybacks. We have to get guns off the streets. We have to get guns out of the hands of the people so that crime will go down. And that's a lie, but it's what they put out. It's like Jason said earlier. They are liars. They steal, kill, they lie, they destroy. It's what the enemies of Christ do. They don't have that love of their neighbor. They don't love their neighbor as themselves. They hate their neighbor. And, you know, the lines are being drawn. It truly is. The time of harvest, I think, draws near. The time to see just who the tares are and who the wheat are. And it's by their fruits. You know, they look alike when they're growing. And at a certain time, but then when the harvest comes near, you can tell the difference between the tares and the wheat. And I think that day is drawing near. Well, Kyle, thanks, and Jason, thanks for having me, and hopefully this will open the phone lines up, and the good Lord willing, and the excursion keeps running. We'll see you at church in the morning.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Richard.
All right, thank you.
And yeah, not only did they want to disarm the people of the United States, they want to make them weaklings. You know, I mean, the Bible talks about a strong man, you know, and they want to make you weak in what armor you have, and they want to make you weak in the type of person you are, by the games they want you to play and the way they want you to speak and everything else. And so they want a bunch of weaklings that they can go in and they can take everything everybody's got and be the big bully on the block, and you can't do nothing about it because you've been disarmed physically, mentally, every angle they come at you. And that's their goal, and that's been their goal since the beginning of when they were created. That's just the way they are. What do you think of that, Jason?
Yeah, I agree. I do. And I think it was a good point that you made earlier, you know, about, you know, how it's your neighbors. And I think that's why it really hit me, is because, you know, it is. Those are our neighbors. Those are our people. Those are people that have worked hard for a lot of them for 30 years to, you know, pay their property off and, you know, to have it stolen from them. And that's what, you know, if people... Oh, well, that's a long ways away, and that's a little remote town up in Wyoming. Yeah, but that's our people, and if you don't stand up for them when you know somebody's trying to come and rape and pillage them off the land, then who's going to be there to stand with you when they come and try to do it to your house and your property?
Yeah, I agree.
Now, if you don't do something about it now, the words "coming soon to a town near you" apply. You know, it's like
I'm not even sure where in the world did the does the EPA? I mean, I thought the EPA was the Environmental Protection Agency. Where did they get the authority to take property away and decide? I mean, I don't know. Is that a fairly new development, or is that has the EPA always been the ones that decide what Indian reservations or what property gets turned into Indian reservations?
It's a really good question. Yeah. Well, and I think we see from that, we were talking about that last night, there was a federal law, and they used the word law. I don't know, there's one lawgiver, we realize that. But they had a federal regulation in, 1905, wasn't it?
1905, yes.
Yeah, that they used to authorize this. And here we are, 100 and some years later, and now they're changing their mind. I mean, to me, it's just a glaring example of the fact that they never play by their own, they don't follow their own rules. They don't play by, they say one thing and then do another. So, we see.
That's what they did. They pass a law, and then they have to pass another law to counteract the last law or to define it more. And, I mean, you look at how many new laws just went in effect on the first of the year. I mean, just, it's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. Well, let's take a little break, Tim. I'm going to drop you and call you on the line Richard was on, and let's see if we can get this caller first. Caller, you're on the air. Hello.
Hello.
Yeah, that's you.
Hey guys, this is George from Southern Illinois.
Hey George, how are you today?
Doing really good. Doing really good. I was just wanting to call and say howdy. I appreciate the prayers for you guys for my dad and.
Yeah.
He did really good that next Sunday. He started feeling a whole lot better, and he's been able to get back to work and everything. So that's a good praise report.
That's
awesome.
I just wanted
to call and say that. And I was also wondering if anybody has heard anything about that chemical spill out east.
Tim was telling me a little bit about that.
Apparently there is some kind of a tank or something built a bunch of chemicals into a river, and earlier this week I heard that they just talked about it for a little bit, and they said something like it was a non-toxic chemical, but they shut all the water down and not let everybody drink it out of the water, which is a good thing. But then this morning I seen that there's already hundreds of people starting to show symptoms of being sick. I didn't know exactly what kind of a chemical that was in the water, but I'm sure there was quite a few people.
And where was that exactly?
Affected by.
Where was that at?
It was out east. Was it Virginia or
Virginia.
Something?
Oh, really?
I'm not really sure exactly where it was out there, but.
Yeah, I think that was West Virginia. And from what I understand, it was a chemical that they used to wash the coal at a coal mining plant. Some kind of glycol.
Methylcyclohexane methanol, whatever that is.
Well. Yeah, so there's a lot of people affected by that. So,
yeah, they said it was non-toxic, but don't drink or that it wasn't poisonous. But
yeah, non-toxic, but don't drink the water.
And we already know that they don't really care if we drink toxic stuff anyway, so how bad can it be?
Yeah, it was kind of funny because they said it was right after they talked about it, and they said that they shut all the people down from drinking the water, and all the stores were empty, all the shelves were emptied in the stores, and nobody could find water anywhere. So, and then now there's hundreds of people that are getting and showing signs of sickness from it. So it's I'm kind of curious to see where they're going to go with that and see how they downplay it a little bit. So, also. There's I heard something on the news this morning about the Winter Olympics. I guess they're in Russia this year, and they showed a little bit about that where they said if anybody is found promoting homosexuality and kind of showing their homosexuality or whatever, that they're going to be thrown in jail over there. So
awesome.
I'm kind of, yeah. I wish we could take a note out of their book with that one here in America. So
never thought I would say awesome to the Russians, because, you know, I was I was told. But well, that's pretty good news there. I like it.
Yeah, they got their ways and they're sticking to it. So that's it's pretty cool how they went about doing that. So
it is. Well, thanks, George. Anything else?
No, that's all I got. Good talking to you guys, and I'll keep listening.
Thanks a lot, George.
Yeah, thanks for calling.
Yep. Bye.
Goodbye. And we'll go back to the phone line, see if we can get this other red one to work here. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. This is Josh, right?
Yes, sir.
How you doing, Josh?
Very well, very well. I had the answer to Jason's question, which I know he knows the answer to, about who gave the EPA the authority. No one did. They stole it. And they're sitting back and waiting to see if anybody stands up and uses that big little word, no. And if they don't, they're going to steal something else, and they're going to keep on.
Yep.
That's their plan. And it came to me this morning. I was listening to, about working and listening to the message before the program, but it came to me. Pastor Peters preached it to me. But
a lot of things just came to me that way, Josh. There's nothing wrong with that.
But what's going to happen to them this year? You know, we talk about what they're going to do next, Well, I have had a vision of what they're going to do next. They're going to turn on each other. They're going to fall into the pits that they've dug for us, and they're going to be destroyed. And it'll be Amen. At our hands and under our feet that it happens. I don't know about you all, but here lately, a lot of people are in just such a depression about, you know, what they're going to do. And we know what they're going to do. It's lined out for us in the Word, and it's our responsibility to make them do what they're going to do.
It is. And as soon as our obedience is complete, that's when it's completely going to turn around.
That's right.
You know, and when we start caring for our neighbors and our brethren and our kinsmen and our families, that's a big step in our obedience becoming complete. Now, if we just stay at like an ostrich and put our head in the sand and don't care about the ones that are stealing and killing and destroying, then our obedience isn't complete. But like you said, we know that that's going to happen because it's written. And you know, and if you question what has been written, just look at history. Everything that's been written is coming to pass. You know, so it's easy to have confidence in what you're saying. You know, it's easy to say, well, you know, I know for a fact that this is going to happen because we have it right in front of us.
But where the rubber meets the road is, what can I do? And the first thing we should do in every instance is pray about it. But the second thing is, you live the example for your brothers. Mm-hmm. Yesterday we had a co-worker that was retiring and had been working with our company for 36 years. And we were having him a little retirement party. You know, I cooked and everything. And most of the guys, 85% of the guys, were standing around, you know, just waiting for whatever to get done. And there was about three of us that were doing all the work and serving everybody and all. And I got mad about it. And I got thinking about it. I said, you know, this is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. I'm supposed to be putting them first. Mm-hmm. And that is my testimony, is for them to see me live that.
Amen.
You see what I'm saying?
Yep. You know, when we went back to Oregon for Thanksgiving, and it snowed while we were gone, and we come home, and you know, we got in Denver Airport about 9 o'clock or whatever, and by the time we got to Laramie, Wyoming, to our house, it's midnight or maybe even after. And we pull up, and the porch light's on, and my neighbor, new neighbor, because I haven't lived in that home very long, and doesn't go to the LaPorte Church of Christ, and probably doesn't never heard of Pastor Peter J. Peters. But my neighbor had took his snow shovel and shoveled off our sidewalk, our walkway, clear to the door. And I just, it really hit home. Now, that's the way we're supposed to be. Neighbor, just caring about your neighbor. I mean, I know the Word of God, when it says neighbor, it doesn't mean your next-door neighbor exactly, but it can. It means more your kinsmen, your brethren. But at the same time, that should just be a natural way for everybody to be. And you know what it made me want to do? Is repay him for that. When he leaves, I'll do the same to him, or do something else, it will affect everybody. There's a domino effect for evil. Well, there's also a domino effect for good. It works that way because God's people have that on their heart to begin with, and their mind to begin with. So, I mean, it doesn't take a whole lot to activate that, you know, to get the ball rolling. And someday the ball's going to start rolling the other way, like you said, Josh. And destruction's going to come upon our enemies, and it's going to be under our feet, and it's going to be by our hands. You know, it's going to be by a strong soldier with love in his heart for his own, you know, which will make you fight in a certain way that you don't see that happening anymore.
And I can honestly say I've never had my neighbors shovel the snow off my sidewalk.
Now, in Louisiana, that don't happen too often.
But you're right. The ball is, I believe it's already stopped, if it hasn't started going back the other way. But it's our responsibility. We're the ones to be pushing that ball.
Yeah.
And the way we do that is through prayer and through our everyday life, to live the example for our brother. You know, like you said, it feeds itself. You know, once you start it going, it grows exponentially. Mm-hmm. And part of that is having the humility whenever your neighbor does you wrong, instead of, you know, when he smacks you on the cheek, instead of hitting him back, to take it and duck your head and keep on. You know, to pray about it if you need to keep from hitting him back. But and that's something that I'm really working on, that is a hard lesson to learn, is putting yourself in a position, you know, in a lower position, humbling yourself.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
So, those are my thoughts. Y'all have a good weekend.
Thanks, Josh. Good day.
I was sitting here thinking about what Josh was saying, and I had some questions there the other day about, from someone we were talking, and they were talking about the fact that, you know, what do these people do? I mean, where do they go? Don't they understand that this is damaging? And then the flip side of the coin is what we're talking about here right now. And James 3:13 says, who among you is wise and understanding? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and so lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but is earthly, natural, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder and every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering, without hypocrisy. You know, so that, I think that kind of ties in with what we're talking about as to why the EPA does that, why the Texas Rangers became the Texas Strangers.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know.
Well, I think it can go along real good with Galatians 6:7. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man sows will he also reap.
Amen.
Well, yeah. Let's go to the phone lines. Caller, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I got a couple of comments.
Sounds like a Canadian.
Yeah, did I say A?
Hi, Brent.
Hi. Hey, just a couple of comments on what we're talking about. First of all, I think we all know this, that we brought it upon ourselves as a nation, and we know it'll last as long as God allows it to, and they built the foundation, and we're seeing the superstructure now. And I just want to give an example. I want to comment on the land grab on Wyoming, but let's look at Utah. Well, first of all, I remember reading years ago, you know, 100 years ago, they said, to take down America, God's, the Ten Commandments and the Constitution have to go. We're there. And the thing is you've got some examples here. Look at Utah, this gay marriage, I mean, hate to call it that, but whatever, that's they're using the term. A federal judge said it's unconstitutional to limit gay marriage, so they started marrying. And then the Supreme Court stayed the decision because they want to look into it. They'll probably agree with the future, but anyway, they put a stop to it. Attorney General comes in the other day and says, no, they're all legal. And totally, never, you've never seen this before. Constitution's gone. Ten Commandments gone. We look at the land grab in Wyoming. This is Agenda 21. This is the whole the situation. What they're doing is this. This is all planned out. This isn't, people stand and say, well, what's going on here? And they, yeah, there is a they. And this is the full plan. Any mode to bypass the sovereignty of this nation is being used. And EPA is just doing, these are the modes, you know, just like the SS, they got the social services and everything else to start to get into people's lives. And this is a strong nation, and the way in was through the environmental situation with the Agenda 21. Jason, you know, you're full aware of that whole thing.
Yeah.
And what they've done is, now the EPA, sure, why not? See, the Indian reservations up here, former Prime Minister, before he was Prime Minister, he'd come up and go north all the time on the behalf of the UN as a lawyer representing the what we call Aboriginal here, Indians. And this is what's happening down there. You look at Yellowstone, all the federal parks. It's all land grab to take away the sovereignty of the nation. So that's what's going on. Arianna Huffington, you know that, whatever she is, you know, from Huffington Post, said the other day, you got at least one billionaire, maybe two, and they're going to set her up with a global news agent. I mean, these guys are just going, they're going for the jugular, but God will not allow them, ultimately. They're going to go down. But the thing is this is not just a surprise. What are they doing? They did this testing for the last 30 years, and nobody did anything. They got their superstructure in place, and they're just going for it now. The Constitution, Ten Commandments are out of the way. The government can now just go and do anything, and that's what's going on. Like, it shouldn't be a surprise.
Yeah, you're right.
Well, and I think that's one of the things. It's not a surprise, but it's one thing. It's when, because you can see the things coming, and you read it, and you know what their master plan is and their big plan is. But then when you actually see it with your eyes, and it's in a town near you, that's when
it's shocking a little bit. Yeah,
it does. It does kind of shock you. It's like, okay, we're really here. You know, that's really where we're at.
No, I agree. I understand. That's true. Isn't that the way it is with so many things in life? Until it's close to home,
it is.
It doesn't hit. But the thing is, and I'll go back to my opening comment, my qualifier. Our hope in the end, it's just in God. It's in Jesus Christ. Because when it does hit home to the nation, you know, to our own towns or whatever, you know, that's going to be ultimately our only hope. Of course, we do what we can. But you know what I'm saying. Anyway, guys, I throw that in.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you did. I appreciate it.
Okay, take care now.
Thanks, Brent. Talk to you later.
See you, Kyle.
Yep.
Bye.
And we got a few minutes left here. Telephone number is 307-745-5913. I know we missed a few calls there early because so many lines were taken and stuff. So if you want to call back, give us a call. Yeah, it's like Brent was saying, they are going for the jugular. You know, and a lot of these things, like you guys were saying earlier, it is a test. They're seeing how far and how fast they can go, and you know, and they're doing it in all kinds of places: Utah, Boise, Idaho. I mean, they're doing it places you wouldn't even think that, you know, Wyoming. You know, I mean, they're doing it in places that you wouldn't think because they are. They're testing the. You know, they're not testing the Eugene, Oregon's or the San Francisco, California's or, you know, I mean, obviously they have in the past, but because they already know they got those people. They're testing middle America. They're testing right down. Let's see what this guy with the cowboy hat's going to do when I do this to his neighbor, you know. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, and the thing is you talk to people and you talk to them about things like this just in general, and you try to tell them, okay, this is what they're doing up here, and people just don't even want to believe it. They don't want to believe that. They'd rather stick their head in the ground, in the sand, and hide from it and, you know, live in denial and say, well, there's got to be more than going on up there than that, and they can't just do that. You know, it's got to be something else. And they make excuses to not believe, to not accept the reality of things.
Yeah, they're still in the why would they do that stage. They don't know they have an enemy. They don't know that somebody's out to steal and kill and destroy them, you know.
Well, and I think just talking to a lot of them, I think that, you know, they could believe it. They don't want to believe it. They don't want to believe that that's where we're at today.
Yeah.
You know, that I've tried to talk to people about Agenda 21 and this plan and everything, and people don't want to believe it. I mean, they don't want to think that they don't want to. And even if they can recognize that, okay, we might have an enemy out there, and they don't want to believe that they're really that bad.
Yeah, that is so true. Hey, let's go to one more caller, or at least one more. Oh, they hung up. Call back, caller. There's time. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, it's a call to action, too. I mean, if you do believe it or if you do acknowledge it or something, then the next thought process is, well, what are you going to do about it? You know, I mean, you know, you can even see them stutter step on that. A lot of times some of those people, well, just, I mean, what can I, there's just, you know, what can I do about it? I mean, it's just me, you know. And so you see that they minimalize everything to the point, you know, and we look at it from a standpoint of, with God, how many can you put to flight? How many can you, you know, and, every time I hear that comment, I'm always reminded of Elijah, you know, and how God said, I still got a lot of them who haven't bowed their knee. Yeah. So, you know.
Well, or read the book of Acts. See how the early Christian church developed itself. They were getting thrown in jail. They were getting stoned. They went about it, and some of it was secretive. Some of it was, well, you know, I got to go out of town this way because they're waiting for me the other way. And read about the early church and see how the gospel message got put out then, and you can figure out how to do it now. And it's all about liberty. It's all about where the Spirit of the Lord is. There is liberty. That's the main thing that we can do is we can do exactly what the apostles and the disciples did in Acts. Let's go to the phone lines real quick. Caller, you're on the air.
Morning, Carl. Morning, Wranglers.
Good morning.
Tom in Texas.
Hey, how you doing, Tom?
Not bad. We're at a nice balmy 61 degrees here.
Oh, yeah, we're in the 20s here, so.
It's that global warming hitting us now. We went from teens to at night to now it's in the 60s at night.
Boy, it hit you fast.
I was listening, and it sounds like the same old invisible third party. Well, at least in not invisible to those of us that has eyes to see, instigating, I guess, what you were saying about the wanting to give Indians back their land or something up in Wyoming.
Yep.
I mean, and some people say, well, white people stole it. Well, you know, no. If you lose land in war, that's war, and that's the spoils of war. You know, what they'll be doing is that would actually be stealing it if they took it back.
Yeah. They try to accuse us of stealing the land and turn around and steal it from us. And, yeah, isn't that what they always do? They accuse you of what they're doing?
Yeah, exactly. That's the age-old communist tactic. I remember there was a Pastor Peters talked about a man about somebody that was in the military, and there was he was stationed with Indians, and the Indians would be stealing his socks. The Indian didn't look at that as stealing.
Yeah,
I recall one of his is either a sermon or
he's talking about different people have different laws on their hearts. You know.
Yeah, that's right. That's what it was about. That they didn't think of it as stealing, and they probably don't think of it as stealing, you know, even now, you know, for what they're intending upon doing. They're not going to do the noble There's no noble red man about that when it comes to that, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're right, Tom. And I talked to a Mexican once in the Portland area who he kind of got a lot of other Mexicans jobs because he spoke good English and he was just kind of one of their leaders, I guess you'd say. And he said the same thing, that if they steal something and get away with it, they have no guilty conscience whatsoever. It's just like it's there for the taking. You know, even a lunch pail or maybe somebody's compressor on the job, if they steal it and get away with it, they have no guilty conscience, and they'll even let you see that they have it because it's just a way of life for them. You know, and he was telling me this, that they don't have that. They don't have that on their heart that they did something wrong. They got away with it. It's fine. It's just like finders keepers, I guess. I don't know, but
I see that in blacks, in my experience. I mean, they'll harp and cry about racism this and racism that, but when something benefits them that is actually, you know, racist against us, they don't have any problem about that. That dragging death up in Jasper that happened years ago with James Byrd Jr., he was nothing but a village drunk, and he was a crack dealer. He was given money to buy crack cocaine, and when it came time to deliver the crack cocaine to the individuals, which he was incarcerated with before, he didn't have the money and he didn't have the coke. And we all know what happens in the drug world when it comes to stealing. Then things are capital offense and their judicial
death penalty
system.
Yep.
You know, their hypocrisy reeks of, well, I mean, go trace it back to who's this invisible third party, leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Them, the same people following the same teachings that they were converted in ancient Khazaria, and now they, you know, instigate all around the world.
You got it, Tom.
Him fight against him, and you know, all the while financing both sides of wars, like the Rothschild families. We all know what they are. Mm-hmm. Khazars, Jews.
You got it. Well, hey, we're running out of time. You got anything? Any last thing to say?
No, I'll leave it at that. And God bless you all. I'll see you all in church.
Thanks, Tom.
Bye.
Well, we've got a couple minutes left. Tim, you want to say something before we let you go?
Well, I just remember in that message also that Peter had said that into their way of doing things, and the Indians' way of doing things, that the best man in their society was the best horse thief. So that seems like that was in that message too.
Yeah, and isn't that the way it is? Yep. So. All right, thanks, Tim. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Talk to you later. Yep. Okay, Jason. Well, there's a phone caller, but we don't have time to take it. Sorry about that. Jason, why don't you close out?
Well, I just wanted to close out with Matthew 22:36. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And he said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the great and foremost commandment. The second is, like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments depend the whole law and the prophets.
Amen. Thanks a lot, Jason. I'll see you in the morning.
All right.
Thanks, everybody. Talk to you later, and we'll go out with Snakehide.
Rolling, Snakehide. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, snake high. Fast and pray together, make them hells and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, snake high.
Ride more!
Snake hide!
Ha! Ha!
disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake hide. Ride them out, ride them more, ride them more, ride them out, ride them out, ride them more, snake hide.
Moving, 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 though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting. Be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out.